Welcome to my notes from the field. This is where I bring you my latest boots on the ground research, research we can profit from. And few dispatches have been more apt when it comes to that profit tagline than what I'm going to share with you today. I have discovered what I believe will become one of the next great stretches of Pacific coastline. Just truly amazing, wide, tan stretches of empty Pacific coastline. You know, I had that feeling, I had that once in a decade feeling as I sat on plastic chairs in front of one of my top 10 beaches I've seen anywhere, and at incredibly inexpensive ceviche, and just looked to my left and looked to my right and just saw just incredible potential. This place has stayed relatively undiscovered for the usual reasons. It's been difficult to get to, and that's all set to change. But so before I dive in to paint the full picture and just to share where I went, why I went there, and what I found, greetings from Guadalajara. As I speak to you, I feel somewhat like a fraud, because I told you that I lived by the mantra of no heating or cooling, that I organized my life around year-round spring-like weather, that I got that in Ireland in the summer, I got that in Portugal in the spring and the fall, that I got that in Cabo in January and February, and I'm here talking to you today from under blasting air conditioning, because this time of year the temperatures in Guadalajara do get up to the low 90s, and you know, certainly for someone like me who likes that spring-like weather, it's not ideal. On the other side of the equation, you have these beautiful blooming jacarinda trees. So these are these beautiful purple and lilac trees that flower in just this explosive display. And I'm looking out my window and it's just raining beautiful purple jacarinda petals. There's also a range of other flowering trees. There's beautiful explosive yellow ones. Even though we're in the middle of a city here, there's beautiful bright red birds floating around. It's very, very, very pretty. A walkable city once you're in that heart of the city, once you don't have to battle with those extremities. But I'm here. I've another 6 days or so here before I continue my journey east and get to Portugal. So where have I been? I've been, you know, over the past month, I've been in, you know, from my Cabo San Lucas base, I've been checking out Todos Santos, the East Cape, La Paz, La Ventana. I've jumped over here to Guadalajara. I spent a weekend exploring the Masamitla area. And last week I jumped on a plane and I flew via Mexico City and I landed in Puerto Escondido. So last week I spent the week focusing on the portion of Mexico's South Pacific coast that runs from Puerto Escondido south to Huatulco. So to orient you a bit more, Huatulco on the southern end of that coast is relatively well known, relatively developed. It was a Fonatur town, that's Mexico's tourism promotion body that goes into destinations. It puts in the infrastructure that hotels and resort developers will need, then the resorts and the development come. So Huatulco, it has an international airport. It flies to a reasonable number and variety of destinations in the US and Canada, albeit primarily West Coast. So nothing like the type of accessibility that you'll have from a Cabo, a Vallarta, or a Cancun, but moderate levels of accessibility. And it's relatively developed. To the north, and Puerto Escondido, where I flew into, it's a tiny little airport. It's a place I've heard surfers talk about for a long time. It's a place that attracted surfers to, you know, to escape and to live the surf life. It was, in my mind, it had a reputation too of attracting, you know, hippies and earth travelers and general wanderers. And, you know, there's a big giveaway there because these folks have a lot of time on their hands and they tend to gravitate to some of the world's most beautiful destinations. So when I came back, I mentioned to my team, just it's just interesting to see how much the mega rich and the hippie stroke surfers stroke, you know, backpackers have in common. You know, the mega rich have the means in terms of private planes, yachts. They have the means to get themselves comfortably to the world's most stunningly beautiful destinations. These surfers and the backpackers and the hippies, they have the time and they have a tolerance of bouncy buses and they have a tolerance of these logistical challenges. So it's just very interesting how these worlds can collide. And I didn't know what to expect much beyond that. I'd never been to this stretch of coast, Puerto Escondido. As I understand it, as far as I'm aware, it doesn't have any international flights right now. If it does, there are just some limited charters, or, you know, just so international travel is not currently a thing into Puerto Escondido. But as I arrived in on my flight from Mexico City, which is a breezy 57 minutes, the Path of Progress events that I have been hearing about just hit me over the head. We flew in over a shiny, glimmering new highway that's connecting Oaxaca with the coastline. So Oaxaca is the state and Oaxaca is also the city and the state capital. And Oaxaca, the city, is one of the most in vogue city destinations in North America right now. You know, if you're tuned in to what the trendy set is doing, they're going to Oaxaca. They're going to Oaxaca because the food is out of this world. The culture, the architecture. It's just one of the hottest early stages city destinations in all of North America right now. And this highway means that Oaxaca, the city, is now 2.5 hours, 2 hours and 40 minutes from the coast. That's a game changer. But also then Oaxaca, the city, connects well by road with major Mexican cities like Puebla, which also connects well with Mexico City. So we're seeing this coastline tied up by road to both the tourism center of the region, which is Oaxaca City, and also some of the huge population centers of central Mexico. The highway along the coastline has seen very, very significant investment in recent years. But as I flew in, I got to see the nugget the thing that I believe will be an absolute game changer. I saw a huge hole in the ground, a right next to our runway and right adjacent to the tiny terminal. I mean, literally, this arrivals terminal is like something you'd see in the tiniest of the Caribbean islands. But the huge area of land is cleared, and this is where Puerto Escondido's international terminal is going to be located. So airports come and airports get built in all sorts of destinations all over the world all the time. So why is this one so important? This one is so important because landing at this airport from an international destination puts you within minutes, and I literally mean minutes, of some of the most amazing curves of Pacific Beach that you could imagine anywhere. You know, for the past 20 years, I have been pretty much full-time in search of elusive beach real estate like this, that's stunningly beautiful, that's empty, and something is happening that's going to change that accessibility piece. So even as the wheels hit the tarmac, I just had butterflies. I just knew I was on to something. And what I found very quickly was there was even more to the story than, you know, those beaches, that Path of Progress story. Because I arrived at my Airbnb. My Airbnb, as a to digress, was a very, very interesting opportunity in itself, because our landlady had built this very, very simple building of 7 apartments around a pool. The construction was very, very nice and clean and fresh, but very, very inexpensive construction. The location was a 7-minute walk from the restaurants and the bars and that, but it was up a dirt road. So I would imagine land like that could still be got very, very inexpensively, but you can build a little project of maybe 6 to 8 condos, rent them short term. You're renting to a market. Again, it's a bit like this ordinary rich market that, you know, really is becoming such a big deal on our radar, because in these places there's just such a shortage of like the type of accommodation I'd like to stay in. So there's lots on the budget, and then there's lots at the super high end. So anyway, I digressed, but within those 6 to 7 minutes walk of this Airbnb where I stayed, you know, I found some of the most creative and eclectic, you know, bars and restaurants. I went out for amazing Thai Mexican fusion food. You know, the whole beach town vibe was like somewhere between Bali or somewhere between that real Southeast Asian beach town vibe with sand on the floor with a Mexican twist. It was very, very, very special. Like, it just felt energetic. It just felt like a fun place to be. The food was amazing. It was just a place that is highly, highly attractive. And then along these streets, I started seeing, you know, the whole kind of strata of the market. You know, there were the hippies, there were the the backpackers. And now you have more of the wealthy coming. And now you also have these new high-end restaurants opening up. So this is a place that already has it already has that foundation of vibrancy, of amazing food. There's a lot of French and a lot of Italians have settled there, as well as, it seems like, very extensive Asian food influences. So this is all infrastructure. This is all stuff that will be that will make our visits when we go there, you know, so much more entertaining and, you know, so much more enjoyable. Indeed, to the north of Puerto Escondido, there's already a super high-end pocket or stretch of beach emerging. So this is an area that it just developed organically. Some of Mexico's top architects started building beach homes there. It became a thing that if you were one of Mexico's top architects, or indeed some international architects as well, something you needed to have in your portfolio is having created a home along this stretch of beach. And also dotted along this stretch of beach are a couple of boutique hotels. So these homes, you know, they rent for about $5,000, and they rent for up to $5,000 per night, in the range of $1,500 per night up to about $5,000 per night. So again, it's interesting to me because those are big numbers, but these are big beach homes that could accommodate an extended family or a group of friends, you know, comfortably accommodate 8 to 10 adults. But if there were kids, it would suit for an extended family group. And it's attracting folks willing to pay that much. But again, also very interesting when you compare those rents to, say, the top end of the Cabo market, they're extremely inexpensive. And it's a product or a experience that's very, very different to that Cabo experience. This is wild, open, empty beaches. This is not the kind of the razzmatazz of big resorts. There's none of these fancy golf clubs here yet anyway. So it's a different experience, but it's equally as appealing. So it's already carved out this niche for high end tourism. But you know, to orient Puerto Escondido, at the heart of that area to the north, there's a number of small beach towns dotted along the coast. You have these long, wide curves of beaches that are, you know, I'm told, amazing surf. It's very, very popular with surfers. You have, to the south of Puerto Escondido, you have some, again, amazing curves of beach with rock formation backed by, you know, verdant palm trees. So the coast, as you go along it, from north to south, there's variety there. You know, there's parts where you feel like you're in a somewhat secluded cove with dramatic rock formations and greenery and palm trees. Other parts, it's flat, gently slopes rolling down to the beach side. There's areas where there's parcels of land that just, you know, so beautifully lend themselves to development, because it's gently sloping land down to the beachfront. So it's stunningly beautiful. You go north, it's stunningly beautiful, and you have little beach towns and cool places to have seafood with toes in the sand. You go south, it's the same. So I guess, first of all, what's the opportunity, and you know, how do I see this playing out, and you know, what's the opportunity for us to get ahead of what I see as this huge transformation. So first of all, in summary, the areas that I really like are from 30 minutes north of Puerto Escondido to 30 minutes south, maybe 30 to 40 minutes south. So again, all the coast is stunningly beautiful. You can go further, in either direction. And as you go further to the south, you're also getting close to Huatulco. But put yourself within that radius in a area that's got a small, that's got a local village on the beach. So these are places where already there's great restaurants, there's local shops, there's great restaurants popping up right on the beach. So you have that amenity of a degree of community plus services like food and that, and you're close enough to the main drag of Puerto Escondido that, you know, it's very comfortable to move in or to move out for dinner, etc. So the opportunities are, you know, there's two plays here there's two plays here. So one is the land play, which is to get in now and buy land ahead of this transformation. This is a play, of course, that, you know, that you really should be a professional to consider it. You know, it's buying land it's a complicated process, and that land then only really has value subject to all the various permits you're going to need. Also, there's a range of different title setups down there. You've got, you know, regular titled land, you've some ejido, and you've got some comun. We'll write up in a different place what those mean and what the impact can mean in terms of your due diligence. But the bottom line is, buying land is complicated. It certainly is extremely complicated if you're a novice, because figuring out the permits is critical to the land value. Now, all that said, if you have the skills and the interest in pursuing that type of land play, what I would recommend would be to look to buy true beachfront. I'd look to buy I'd focus on quality rather than size. So that could be, you know, I saw some great beachfront land with parcels as, you know, from about a hectare that are in a pretty much in a rectangular dimension with the wider part facing the sea. To the south, there is gently sloping land that's, you know, extremely, on paper, easy to develop. Of course, subject to all the usual stuff like the permits, and also you'd need to be very carefully study water flow. But there's a big opportunity for a certain type of person to buy land ahead of the influx of developers. And believe me, this is a place that's already on the radar of, you know, some of the region's top developers, so much so that while I was there, two separate developers who have brought us RETA member only deals flew in to either put boots on the ground on land that they have optioned and are in the process of doing due diligence on and closing on, or to explore other land parcels. So, you know, it's at that moment where it hasn't taken off yet, but all the pieces are moving already. You know, the airport isn't a reality, but the budget is in place and earth is being moved and it all seems serious. Development hasn't come, but yet all these serious developers are, you know, moving around looking to get their ducks in a row to find land. So in this area, a type of RETA inventory that I'd consider offering, which I've never done before, is true beachfront lots. So these are lots that, you know, that certainly won't be a low sticker price, but compared to other destinations would be extremely inexpensive. So many of our members only deals have been pre-construction condos and homes. This is a place where we might be able to snag true beachfront lots. We're that early in the evolution of the path of progress that beachfront lots is a possibility. And with that in mind, you know, I've been speaking with a number of developers who are in the process of working on land acquisition, and I've made it clear to them that our group would be interested in true beachfront lots. Again, you know, true beachfront, they ain't making any more of it. These are just the most incredible long, wide curves of beach. We can have low density, you know, just stuff that it just doesn't exist anymore in other places. And again, to kind of to use the Cabo comparison, which is, you know, it's a different place, but, you know, to a certain extent there are similarities with Cabo's Pacific. You know, what we can get here now is just, you know, just what we could get in Todos Santos or Pescadero probably 30 years ago. So this again is, you know, like I described with my trip to Caminha in northern Portugal, going to Mexico's South Pacific is like a time machine. So on behalf of us, on behalf of our group, I've opened conversations about true beachfront lots. This is a place where I would do a play that I wouldn't do it wouldn't be my go-to investment play, but this is a destination where I would buy for the right price a true beachfront lot and build a spacious, comfortable home right on the beach and plug it into that short-term rental market of, you know, $1,000 plus per night. It would be a very significant investment in one piece of real estate in one place, but I think this is a place we could do that. And of course, with that play, you also have the benefit of personal use, and, you know, this would be to have a place like this right on the beach would just be truly special. Then the other angle I'm working is just our regular RETA members only deal targeted at the ordinary rich, what we've did recently in Playa Flamingo, what we've done in Cabo, what we've done in Lagos in Portugal, which is just to identify that niche in the market where the super high end of the market is being served and the low end of the market is being served. And just that missing piece for what I call the ordinary rich, that isn't being served. Now, this is a big, big idea right across our beat, as you very well know. I mean, you've got deals coming down the track in Montenegro. You've got deals coming down the track in Cap Cana. All of these are playing into that same idea that as these types of truly extraordinarily beautiful destinations emerge and become very, very popular, there's a race to the top end of the market. There's a race to the $2,000 per night hotel rooms and the multi-million dollar condos. And no one, or very, very few people, are creating that type of product, that those types of homes and those types of condos to serve the ordinary rich. So what I'm looking for here in the Puerto Escondido area is true beachfront condos with the type of RITA level amenities. So these are communities of, you know, 300 plus condos that will allow for amenities. And that's one of the huge things, again, to remember of the value of being part of our group, because when we bring our group buying power to a project, the developer can do things at bigger scale. And that bigger scale creates economies of scale that means that we can get these exceptionally low prices, but it also means that the amenities can be of a whole other level. So I see us getting within 30 minutes north or south of Puerto Escondido, true beachfront, amazing amenities, those let's call it that full ordinary rich type experience. So it's at the high end, but you know, nothing like trying to be a Four Seasons or to go OTT like that in a way that, you know, that where really you ultimately end up paying this huge premium for very little. There's a better way. There's a way, and we found this with RITA deals, to have a comparable level of experience, or not quite a comparable level of experience, because it's not as service, or, you know, there aren't so many people running around, you know, saying yes or no, sir, three bags full, sir, but a place that's luxurious, that the setting is absolutely primo, second to none, and the construction and the finishes are excellent, but we're paying a fraction, and this is highly desirable. You know, it's what many of us want, and it's also what our renters want, and when it comes time to resell. So the good news is this is an incredibly exciting find. The good news is I'm telling you about a destination that, if this sounds appealing to you, I'd strongly urge you to visit, just to check it out. I guess the bad news is that it's going to take time for these deals to materialize. These conversations I'm having are at early stages, and there's, you know, complex permitting processes, etc., involved. But that's just the way it goes. You know, I mean, the reality is that often times when you arrive into a destination and everything is plug and play, it's too late. So the takeaway is Puerto Escondido is on my radar. We are talking, along with my team, we are talking to a wide variety of landowners and developers about negotiating a members only deal on one of these, you know, just absolutely world class stretches of beaches. And it's exciting because, you know, I've spent a lot of time in Cabo over the last few years, and you know, we've got in and we've got in on hit after hit after hit. But as the market rises and as the cost of everything rises, it's just getting harder and harder, you know, all to find Rita grade inventory. So to be able to come down here, to come down along Mexico's Pacific coast and find what I expect and hope will become a time machine. So there you go. That's the word from Puerto Escondido. Exciting stuff. And but you know, it's not just exciting stuff from me this week. You know, Owen is in Montenegro, and I mean the photos and the reports and the voice messages he's been sending me, you know, just incredibly exciting. You know, this truly looks like, you know, the next Monaco. Just, you know, this again, it's a market that's going straight to the top, to the high end of the market. And I think, you know, amazing members only opportunity coming down the track there fast. Ollie is in Capcana, and again, Capcana, I've told you about before, you know, absolute luxury playground, adult playground, amazing golf courses, marina, sports fishing, restaurants, and just the most perfect white sand Caribbean beach you can imagine. So Huatulco has me tickled pink, and our broader Rita beat and our broader Rita deals pipeline has never been stronger. So I'll be jumping on my plane to Portugal in a few days with a spring in my step, looking forward to checking in on the market there, but knowing that I'll be leaving a Western hemisphere that's brimming with opportunity, and an opportunity you'll be hearing about in a very actionable way in the coming weeks and months.